good evening. It's good for us to have this opportunity to be back here this evening to worship God in spirit and in truth, to look at a portion of His Word at this time that we might be edified, that we might be better servants to God, that hopefully that as we go out into the world this week that we might be more holy, that we might be one who shows Christ to others in how we live and how we speak. We've been considering in our Wednesday night studies recently the prayer and the Psalms. Tonight I want to look at prayer. And it's a part of, it should be a part of our lives as Christians, and it's vital to our walk with God. It may be the greatest privilege that we have as children of God to be able to go to Him in prayer. And I'm afraid that a lot of the time we don't take advantage of the privilege that we have. And because of that, when we don't take advantage of prayer and we don't go to God, it causes us to be weak, causes us to have faith that is weaker than it should be. Makes us more apt to sin. And it shows in us a lack of faith when we don't pray. As we get ready to look at some vital things that we have to do to be effective in our prayer life, I want us to think about one thing first, is that we must learn to pray according to God's will. And if you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 12 as we get into this. I'll read verse 2. It says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." The gospel, when it's preached to us, the gospel as we study it and we study God's Word, it should change our minds. It should change our will from what it once was. No more are we people who are beset with being selfish, with being lustful for sin, those type of things. It should change our minds, and it should change what our desires are and how we go about living our lives. But more importantly, it should have a great influence on our prayer lives, because we're not going to pray as what he would say the Gentiles or the pagans would, who are asking for things to satisfy the flesh. But our will has been changed, or should be, our will has been changed to that of God's will, so that we ask rightly for what God would have us to ask for. That even in our prayer lives, we're seeking to please God rather than ourselves. And when we pray like that, that is the prayer that God wants to answer, that He will answer. If you look in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "This is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." What God has told us here through John's pen is that for us to be heard, we must ask according to His will. And if we'll do that, we can have absolute confidence that God is going to answer it. And that is, I think that is the key for us. And if you look at Luke chapter 22, what that brings about sometimes is this. Let me get there. If you look in verse 42, this is as Christ is praying at Gethsemane. He says, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." What this means when we pray according to God's will, it means that we're not always going to be praying for what we wish would happen. Do you think that Christ wanted to be mastered the way that He was? His flesh said no. He didn't want this. Look at verse 44. He was in agony, waiting for this to happen. Of course, he would. If he could have had it some other way, maybe he would have. But he said, "Not my will be done, but my Father's will be done." And when we pray to God, that has to be how we approach God. That even if it's not something we necessarily invite or want for ourselves, it's going to make us feel good. It's about how can God's cause be furthered? How can God the Father be glorified in what we're doing here? That's why we're here tonight, is to glorify God in our worship service. That should be our aim every day, that we glorify God by the life that we live. And our prayer each day should be, Lord, help me to do the things that I should do so that I might be holy, that I might glorify You in this life. Whether I like it or not, that's what we have to train ourselves to do. If you look in Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 9. It says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." This should be our prayer every day for ourselves, for each other, that we might grow in knowledge, that we might grow in wisdom, that we might walk the way that we're supposed to walk, that we might bear fruit in every good work for God. That's His will for us. So when we pray to God, we're not wasting God's time. We're not wasting our time worried about our will and pleasing ourselves. We've got to get around that. We've got to understand what it is that we're asking for. Look in 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4. We're starting in verse 3. "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God, and that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things, just as we have also told you before and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. So he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but God who gives His Holy Spirit to you." Our prayer should be that we might be sanctified, that we might live holy lives. This is the prayer for ourselves. This is a prayer for each other. This is what we need. God will supply our needs. Not necessarily our wants, but our needs. And our need is to be sanctified. Our need is to be holy before God so that we might be effective witnesses for Him to the world about us. James chapter 4. Verses 1 through 3. He said, "What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures." When we ask according to what we want instead of what God wants, that's what He's talking about right here. You can ask for it all you want to, you're not going to get it from God. When we want to spend it on things that God wouldn't have us do it, spend it on. If we look at examples of answered prayers, Look at 2 Corinthians. This is one I think that we would do well to think about, because there are people out there that think that if you ask, that God is always going to answer it the way that you would ask for it. But if you look in chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, Paul says here, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And He has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Christ answered his prayer, but he didn't take the thorn of the flesh away, because the thorn of the flesh was helpful to Paul. It helped him, it kept him from becoming prideful. Did Paul sin by asking it to be removed? No. But God said no, and he had a reason for what he did. Was it that he wanted to see Paul hurt? No, it was because he wanted to see Paul humble before him so that he might be acceptable to him. God may say no to us. There's nothing wrong with us asking something that's right, or I mean something that seems right. But just because we ask doesn't mean he's going to say yes. Just like a father and a son. We see that all the time. Just because your children ask for something doesn't mean it's a good thing for you to give it to them. And that's how we have to look at this. We have to trust God. We see that there's been occasions where God has answered affirmatively. Of course, if we look at Sarah, she prayed and prayed for a son. And when she was 90 years old, God answered her prayer yes, and gave her a son. We need to think about this as you go to God in prayer. Am I praying according to His will? Okay. So now, said that to get to this, three different points this evening. This is not an all-inclusive list of things that are necessary for good prayers, but these are three important points. And I probably have to come back to this at some other time and continue this. But anyway, one, if you'll be turning to Hebrews chapter 11, for us to pray in a way that is acceptable to God, we must have faith. Now, in 11 verse 1, we're told what faith is. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. When we pray to God, we're praying from faith. In other words, we're praying for things that God has promised us. When we pray according to His will, we're praying for things that God has promised us. And we should know that God is going to give us these things. What was it James said about praying for wisdom? Pray for wisdom, but don't doubt. God's going to give you what you ask for, if you ask it rightly. In the same way, this is what he's talking about here. When we pray to God, we should know he's going to answer our prayer. If you look at verse 6, the same chapter. And without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. For us to pray rightly, when we seek God out, and that's what he means when we talk about seeking God out, we're seeking Him out in prayer, we must believe that He's God for one, and that He rewards those who pray to Him. We must know that. It's not something, well, I hope He does. You know, I think maybe He will, maybe He won't, maybe He will, maybe He won't. That is not, God expects us to go to Him absolute trust that He is going to give us what He has promised. That's when we pray to God by His will, we're asking for the things He's promised us. And God wants to give you those things. If you think about God sent His Son to die on a cross so that we might be reconciled to Him. Why would He not want to give you these other things that He's promised? He wants to give you those things. He wants you to ask for them. Are we asking for Him? Do we trust Him? Those are the questions that each one of us have to ask for ourselves. We know that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So when we pray in faith, we're praying according to the Word of God. The faith which creates powerful praying is a faith that centers itself upon God. Think about how important this is. One of the things that struck me about this, and I was telling this the other night, I said, you know, I've not given as much attention to prayer as I should have in the past. And you look at what the elders, when they decided to make deacons, when God allowed them to make deacons, why was that? Because they didn't want to serve tables, because they needed all their time to minister the Word of God and to pray. Both things. So if it was that important for the elders, it's at least that it's just as important for us that we spend our time studying God's Word, but we need to be spending a lot of time in our prayers to God as well. That's what they spent their time doing. We should be trying to emulate that. If you look in Matthew chapter 21, as we continue to think about that effective prayer life involves faith, if you look in chapter 21 and verse 22, I'll start in verse 21. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' and it will happen. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." We've got to believe. We've got to trust. Doubts and fear are what hinder us as far as our faith is concerned. If you look at James chapter 1, again, I think I touched on this just a second ago, but if you look at chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, it says, "But if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." If we go to God asking for the things that He wants us to have, which He's revealed to us in His Word, you have to know He's going to give it to you. Know so much that you are sure when you ask that you're going to receive these things. If you look in Luke chapter 17. Verse 5. The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." If you don't have enough faith, and none of us have that, can you have too much? We can always grow in our faith. One of the things we should be praying for constantly is, "Lord, increase our faith. Help us believe more. Help us to trust more. Help us to step out and trust more." Like in James, if God says He'll give you wisdom if you ask for it, know that He'll give you more faith if you ask for it. Pray for faith. John chapter 9. Verse 31. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does His will, He hears him. If your sins are forgiven and you take your cares to God, He will hear you. If you are still in your sins, He's not going to hear you. The only thing He wants to hear then is the fact that you own up to your sins and that you're ready to stop being a sinner. And if you're not a child of God, he wants He wants you to say that you can, that you confess that Jesus is the Son of God, that you repent, and that you're baptized for remission of sins. But if you're a child of God and you are in sin, what He wants to hear from you is an acknowledgement of your sin and repentance. That's what He wants to see. And then He'll hear your prayers. But He's not going to hear them beforehand. And Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 16. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When we have needs, when we're in trouble, God wants us to come to His throne with confidence, with faith, that He's going to answer our prayers. That He's going to take care of us in our time of need, because we know that He wants to do that because we're His children. That's what He requires of us, is that we know that He is going to answer us. But we must take it to Him in prayer. Now, second thing that God requires of us as we go to Him in prayer is that we should have a desire for something. And a desire is a deep-seated craving. And if we don't have desire when we go to God in prayer, it's not going to be an effective prayer. When we don't have desire, and it turns into just going through the motions of something. And that's not what God wants from us. We've mentioned the church at Laodicea and Revelations on several occasions. They thought that they had everything. They didn't feel their need for God. And God said, "You're lukewarm. I'm about to spit you out of my mouth." When we go to God, there has to be desire there. There has to be a sense of urgency when we go to God. It's not like we're talking to somebody on the phone. It's not like it's a casual conversation. We're approaching the Creator of everything. We're approaching our Savior. So when we go to Him, it's important. Prayer is the oral expression of desire. We go to God in prayer because we want something. What do we want? If you look in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." See, when we go to God and we don't feel that there's a desire, that says something about us right there. It says that we're complacent, that we think that we don't need anything, that we think we don't even need God. God is not going to hear prayer from somebody that doesn't think they need Him. We have to recognize our needs. If you look at Psalms chapter 63, and I would say even this, if you see that you don't have a desire to pray, if there's not a desire there, you should be praying for that desire. You should be praying, "Lord, I need to hunger and thirst for righteousness. What's wrong with me? Help me to figure out what I need to be doing here." If we're not urgent about this, we need to be. And if we're not, we need to find out why we're not. Psalms chapter 63 and verse 1. David says here, "God, You are my God, I shall seek You earnestly. My soul thirsts for You, my flesh yearns for You, in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I have seen You in the sanctuary to see Your power and Your glory, because Your loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise You, so I will bless You as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in Your name." If you go through the whole chapter, this is what this is about, is the fact that David thirsts and hungers for God Himself. For His loving kindness, he says, is better than life. We should desire that. We should desire to have a relationship with God like that. And we need it. And there's nothing else in this world that we need other than that. And that's the great problem in the world today, is that people, as Isaiah said, they've got ears that don't hear and eyes that don't see. They don't see their need. They don't hear their need. They don't trust what the Gospels tell them. And therefore, they don't go to God in prayer. And this is why many in this world are going to perish. Because they don't know. What a shame it would be for us, having everything that we have, went over the text that we went over, and not know the need ourselves. Think about that as you go to God in prayer, how much we need Him. Chapter 130 in Psalms. Verse 5. I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and in His Word do I hope. Are you waiting for God? Now, if we desire Him, we're going to be willing to wait. You think about all these, and we'll get to this more in a few minutes, but you think about all these people in the Old Testament who were people of faith that prayed. You think, in many of these cases, do you think they prayed just once and it all happened for them? Sarah prayed till she's 90 years old, waiting for a son. God will answer in His time, but we need to have faith enough to wait on Him, desire enough for God to wait on Him. If it was for food and we were hungry, we'd wait as long as it took to get it. In the same way, we should be waiting on God. Isaiah chapter 26. Verses 8 and 9. Indeed, while following the way of Your judgments, O Lord, we have waited for You eagerly. Your name, even Your memory, is the desire of our souls. Is God the desire of our souls? If it is, we'll wait on Him. And when we say we're waiting on Him by praying to Him without ceasing. We wait on God. And then lastly, or nearly lastly here, we'll go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 2. Starting verse 1, it says, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Now listen. Again, it involves a realignment of our will. I'm not selfish anymore. Now my will is what God's will is. That's what we should desire. And if our will changes, our desires change. I don't desire the things I used to desire. Now I desire God's Word. I desire God Himself. And I'm going to go to God in prayer for that. To help me understand that. Next, we need, if we're going to pray, and this is related to this, when we pray, we should pray with fervor. And when we say fervor, definition of that is intently, straining, strenuously. Those are the things that we should be doing. If you look in Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 9, he says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Those that are fervent in spirit are going to be devoted in prayer. Because of the strain that they have to want to serve God. James chapter 5. Verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. And other translations, the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. When we approach God because of desire, it's going to cause us to pray fervently, strenuously. If we're concerned, if we're really concerned about our souls, about other people's souls, that's how we're going to pray. It shows how much you care about something. If you don't care about it at all, of course you're going to be lackadaisical. You're going to go through the motions. If you care about what you're praying for, you're going to do it with some urgency. Romans chapter 15. In verse 30. It says, "Now I urge you, brethren, by our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be rescued from those who are disobedient in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may prove acceptable to the saints." Strive together with me in your prayers. Strive. As hard as you can, you should be praying. And here, he's asking for the prayers of the saints. We should be striving in our prayers for each other. We should be striving in our prayers for Donnie. We should be striving in our prayers for our elders. We should be striving in our prayers that people in the community in London hear the Word of God. These are the things that we should be concerned about. These are the things we should be praying for every day. Colossians chapter 4. Verses 12 and 13. We read here about Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. For I testify for him that he has a deep concern for you and for those who are in Laodicea and Hierapolis. He had a deep concern for the saints in these places, and he labored earnestly for them in his prayers. He was fervent in his prayers for the saints. Why? Because he cared. Do we care? Lastly, the other thing that God asks us to do in our prayer life is to pray without ceasing. If you'll turn to Luke chapter 18. One through eight, and we look at the parable of the woman and the judge. So now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. The reason he told the parable is that they ought to pray and not to lose heart. What does it mean not to lose heart? It means not to give up and quit. So in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, "Give me legal protection from my opponent." For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, "Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge said now. Will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Will he find those who don't quit? That's what he's talking about here. Will he find faith on the earth? Will he find those who pray and don't lose heart while they're doing it? That don't quit because they trust God that he will answer. That's what he expects of us. If you look in chapter 11 of the same book, if you look at this, a lot of this chapter deals with prayer. He talks about the Lord's Prayer in the first part of it, and the parable of the persistent friend, verses 5 through 8, is a story very similar to the one we just read. But in verse 9, he says this at the conclusion of this. He says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you." If you think about this, ask, seek, and knock. In other words, it's somebody who continues, who will not take no for an answer. who is not going to stop the first time when he asks, when he doesn't hear anything. He's going to seek. He's going to knock. It's a person that doesn't give up. This is said right after the parable of the persistent friend. And he goes on to say, now suppose one of you fathers is asked by a son for a fish, he will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he's asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more will God give to us the things that we need? He wants to give them to you. But do you have faith enough to continue to ask? If you look in Psalms chapter 86, verses 3 through 6. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you I cry all day long. Make glad the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. If you look at what he says here, I cry all day long. I'm not stopping. Because God is good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness to us. But we've got to have faith for Him to answer. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm nearly finished. Verse 18. He says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that the utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Pray at all times on behalf of the saints, on behalf of those who teach the gospel. Don't stop. That should be the overwhelming desire that we have. If we look at examples of people who continued in prayer, one, I'll just go over one, I have two or three, but if you go to Matthew chapter 15, starting at verse 22, it says, and a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, send her away because she keeps shouting at us. But he answered and said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said to her, O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once. She did not stop. When he initially didn't answer a word, and his apostles get her away, you know, send her away. She's driving us crazy. And he said, you know, it's not she's a Gentile. It's not time for them yet. But she kept coming to him, and he had compassion on her. God expects us to pray without ceasing, to trust that He's going to supply us our needs, to take our desires to Him, to pray with fervor. And if we'll do those things, God will answer our prayers. I mean, it's just, He's promised it, and when has God ever lied? He's never lied. He's promised us that He'll answer us. As you go to God in prayer this week, pray for His glory. Pray that you might be holy. Pray that you might understand His Word. Pray that you might obey His Word. Let's pray for each other. Let's pray for the cause of the gospel in our community. God will answer our prayers. But is there any of us here that are faithful? That's the question we've got to ask ourselves. If there's any here this evening that has a need, if